is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassion with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though ye were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. God, called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of us of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Then I want to read verse 14 of chapter 6, saying, Surely blessings I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after that, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of strong meat. Strong meat. You know, we need some of this. One preacher said that folks want strong meat, but most folks, some folks want milk and others want strong meat. Said what we ought to give them was the strong meat, hair, bone, and all. But I don't know about that. But the strong meat is more than we can bear, isn't it, sometime in the Christian life. In our Father's house, his family is always so large that you will always find believers in all stages of growth. In the church, you have believers in all stages of growth. Now, it were unfitted to give milk to men of full age, and equally improper to present the strong meat to those who are but infants. Our Lord has therefore been pleased to dictate directions as to the person for whom various provisions of his table are impending. Now let us bring forth this strong meat and set it down at the table before you. A careful examination of the context will inform you that you are one form one form of strong meat, which is only fit for full-grown Christians, is an allegorical exposition of Scripture. I realize and know that when you just take the Scripture verse by verse and analyze it and break it down and give people what it says, that's a description of strong meat. I feel persuaded that the apostle also more particularly referred to those mysterious truths which have respect to the relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ and his complete person. The doctrine of Christ, ancient covenant, Christ's frequent appearance upon earth before the incarnation, Christ's eternal sonship are some of the things that are strong meat for the children of God. Now we don't need just to be led along babies on and on and on. We need to have some strong meat that we can grow by thereby and have some strength in the Lord. I'm glad today that there are people who take strong meat and they listen to it and they weigh themselves back and they grow thereby. Strong meat will make you grow, will it not? Milk will make you grow to a certain extent, but you'll be soft and flabby and all this and that. May have calcium in your bones, but it's the meat that makes the difference that God moves on us. The doctrines of grace are also generally esteemed to be very strong meat. Thank God for the doctrines of grace today that we have. When men study the grace of God and the power of God and the reality of God and what God is and what God does, I want you to know, praise God, they'll grow in spirit and in truth. That's not easy to study a strong meat, the characters of God, things of God, the oracles of God, who He is and what He does and why He does it, but it'll grow you as a Christian in the Lord. The doctrines of grace, the immutability of God, the consequent safety of the Lord's people, eternal security bothers a lot of people in this world. They don't understand it, and they don't see how you can be eternally saved. The reason is they've never got straightened out in what makes a man get saved anyhow. Brother Stanley was dealing with that this morning, I believe, as I passed by and heard it. I talk about who you are and how good you are. That doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. Jesus' precious blood is the thing that makes the difference in the heart and lives of God's children. And the only way men can be saved is by the shed blood of Calvary, not of works of righteousness which they have done. Scarcely did I mention that other dish and more advanced and enwrought forms of Christian experience, the fight within, communion with Christ. All these things help us to grow strong in the Lord, and they're strong meat. The Lord's Supper is strong meat for the children of God. We realize the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Son of God that we cherish in our heart when we grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought about by strong meat of the Word of God, of what God has said and what God has done. Then let me invite you, the qualified persons, to come to the feast. Who are they? They're described as persons of full age, men that are perfect, signifying therefore spiritual men who have attained to the highest degree of spiritual development. I don't mean a perfect without sin. If I'm talking about perfect, I mean who have attained to the highest degree of spiritual development where you can trust Him and believe Him and rely upon what they say. Now when trouble comes and when heartache comes and when disappointment comes, you just can't depend on what everybody says. Oh, you say, preacher, they're so spiritual, I know, but you can't depend on what everybody says. The flesh gets in the way. They've been eating milk, and they have been doing that was not right in the sight of God. And therefore, it must be men of the highest degree of spiritual development. The babe is perfect in its measure, but it's not perfectly perfect. He is a full age whose faith is vigorous, whose love is inflammable, whose patience is constant, whose hope is bright, who has every grace in full fashion. Thank God for that. The grace of God. The grace of God. Oh, my brother, is the thing that makes a difference. The foreknowledge of God. God knowing everything before it happened. And God knowing everything before it took place. Ain't carry that too far. Some folks said God knows everything and God predestinated me to do everything and to be everything. So He predestinated some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. My friend, you're a babe if you believe that tonight, as sure as you're here. But God has let men know the great power of God. The full-grown man is stronger than the babe. So with Christian, he is no longer to be bent about and twisted. Deeds that were impossible out of infancy are simplicity to the man, full-grown man. A lot of things that babies bother with and fool with are hard for them, but not for a full-grown man. But then our text tells us that they have had their senses exercised. When you walk the way of God and I've seen things happen and failed a lot of times and God leads you in a certain way and you don't go that way, you have your exercise, your senses exercise, you know what to depend on for God. You know what God will do and what God won't do. Oh, listen. Well, there are our spiritual eyes. When the baby first sees, it has a little idea of distance. I hope, dear friend, you know that it is to see Christ as it as what it is and what it is to see self. Not only Jesus, but to see ourselves in the light of God's eternal Word. But there is an ear. Well-taught Christians want to know the keynote of the gospel constantly before Him. And any deliverance from the grand old tune of orthodox, which he has learned from the Word of God, at once makes him feel wretched. Orthodox, the doctrines of the Bible, eternal security, salvation by grace through faith, baptism as a sign of the fact that you have been born again. You'll be baptized in the tadpole worm, your name and social security number, die and go to hell unless you've been born again of the Spirit and power of Almighty God. Baptism isn't worth a thing for a sinner. Only for those who have been saved. It's an exercise of those who have been redeemed, who have died, was buried, and resurrected again to walk in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything besides that is heresy this evening, as sure as you hear. Oh, listen. Then the nose, the intention of which seems a sense to is to smell things afar off. Advanced Christian know the fragrance of heaven. And the spiritual nostril has been made to perceive the difference between the righteous and the wicked. We'll soon be able to perceive what is true food and what is carrot. Men who are growing in the Lord, full-grown Christians know of the difference in what ought to really be eaten and what not ought to be. They know the difference in food and carrot. The taste gives some a cup of mangle, perhaps. It's but a pre-adventures, a creature's willing and creature's doing. And if it's only a worm, they'll drink it down and say, oh, how delightful. But I tell you, no matter how warm it is, this and that, dilly-dally and that dally, will not get the job done. A sense of touch. Believers have been made to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. They have exercised the sense of feeling by joy, by rapture, perhaps by doubt and by fear. And their touch has been so acute, so keen, that though their eyes were shut, as soon as they touched a doctrine, they would know what was of God and what was of man. No matter what you can see, if you have that touch of God on you. And then a gentle rebuke to those. And our text says this comes as a result of use. And that use generally comes to us through affliction. Afflicted Christians come to know the difference between tinsel and gold. Friends, when we're tried in the fire, we know the difference in strong meat and what we can take and what we can't. Now, general rebuke to those who are not full-grown men. The apostles say that the Hebrew saints ought to have been teachers, but they that still remained infants. It is very pleasant to see the father of the infants in the house, but I suppose that our children were always to remain infants. That would be no happiness to the parent. But why should you always be a baby, dear brother? It is not that you have been too worldly, or if you have been as diligent in prayer, if you had been as diligent for your Bible and for your ledger, how much better a Christian you might have been. You will not try to live nearer to God. Somebody handed me an email sheet today on Columbine High School. I'd like to read it to you tonight. I think it demonstrates the difference between babies and full-grown Christians. Here's a question posed by a student to God. Dear God, why didn't you save the school children at Littleton, Colorado? Sincerely, concerned student. Dear concerned student, I'm not allowed in schools. Sincerely, God. Now read how this has unfolded in an incredible short period of time. Let's see. I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hara complained she didn't want any prayer in the school. And we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. And we said, okay. Nobody claimed about it. Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave, because their little personality will be wrapped up and we might damage their self-esteem. And we said, an expert should know what he's talking about, so we won't spank them anymore. Amen. When you let a child go unspanked, you'll ruin that child. You say, bring one knee, a paddle about this long, roll on both sides of it. I need thee every hour. That'll help the situation, a long life's journey. Amen. And someone said teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And school administrator said to the faculty member in this school, better touch a statement when they've misbehaved, because we don't want any bad publicity, and we don't want to be sued. And we accepted their reasoning. Then someone said, let's let our daughters have abortion if they want to, and they won't have to tell their parents. And we said, that's a grand idea. Then some school board member said, since boys will be boys and they're going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire, and we won't have to tell their parents they got them at school. And we said, that's another great idea. Then some one of our top elected officials said, it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our job. And we said, it doesn't matter what anything included, doesn't matter what anybody, including the president, does in private as long as we have jobs and an economy, and the economy is good. Then someone said, let us print magazines with pictures of nude women and call it wholesome, down-to-the-earth appreciation for the beauty of the female. And we said we'd have no problem with that. And someone else took appreciation a step further and published pictures of nude children, and then step further still, making them available on the Internet. And we said everybody is entitled to free speech. The entertainment industry said, let us make TV shows and movies and promote profanity, violence, and illicit sex, and let record music that encourages rape, drugs, murder, suicide, and satanic themes. And we said, it's just entertainment, and it has no adverse effect, and nobody takes it seriously anyway. Go right ahead. Now, we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience. Why they don't know right from wrong. And why they don't bother. Why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, classmates, and even themselves. Undoubtedly, if we thought about it for a long and hard enough, we'd figure it out. I'm sure it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. We reap what we do. We've reaped all this in our schools, and now we're sowing it in our homes and in the classrooms. Young people are out of hand. School teachers are troubled in these days for the most part. They have a hard time. I'm sorry for any man or woman that's teaching school. I don't believe I can stand it. I don't have the ability, but I don't have the patience either. But thank God for school teachers who live for Him. We need the strong meat today. We need to come back to the way of God and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and let God have His way in our soul and glorify and honor men in our day and honor God. We say, well, preacher, it's too far gone. I'm not so sure it is. Let's pray that God's will might be done. Start at home. Live for God. Carry out the things that ought to be carried out and do what ought to be done. You say, preacher, they'll get you for child abuse. Well, a child abuse. Well, my brother, you'll be the first fella ever stayed in jail for doing that was right. And your children will know that you were right in the Lord and eating strong meat in the land. Thank God today for strong meat. Milk is for babies. Strengthens their bones, make them grow strong enough till they're about to get ready. The cross. He brought the Mosier babies over yesterday to our house. Heard Viola put them down on the floor. They're just about to crawl. Won't be long till they'll be crawling. One move toward the other, and I dare believe they've tried hard enough. Just give them another week or so, and they'll be crawling towards one another. Why? Because they've had the milk and the strong milk and the milk thereby to strengthen their body and to grow thereby. But one day they'll get strong meat and they'll be able to run and play and hop and jump and declare the glory of God. Mister, what we need as Christians today is to be able to run and jump and hop. Praise the name of our God. Glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad you're saved tonight? You want the milk? Most Christians want milk given to them. They want it fed to them with a dropper so we don't have to do anything. My friend, if we'll study the Word of God, walk the way of the Lord Jesus, follow His footsteps, God will help us.